Here are the highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. Visit freetalklive.com for the full episode.
Mississippi woman who sat in a county jail for 96 days without being offered bail or a lawyer on suspicion of a drug crime she swore she never committed may pursue a civil rights lawsuit against the county and its sheriff, according to a federal appeals court on Tuesday of this week. Reversing a lower court ruling, the 5th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals said that Jessica Jock was denied basic procedural due process by Choctaw County and Sheriff Cloyd Halford in being held so long, ostensibly because the court was not in session. Her innocence is not disputed. Let me rephrase that again.
Run that by me again, Daryl.
Her innocence is not disputed. But she still sat in jail for 96 days, and the county and the sheriff said she shouldn't have the right to sue us for wrongful incarceration.
How you figure? I mean, this is, by definition, you've been jailed.
Yep.
You were never found guilty. Was she charged?
She was charged, but she was never offered bail or a lawyer.
No bail,
no lawyer. Like, that's the first thing that you're supposed to be offered is the right to speak to a lawyer.
Right.
She was incarcerated for 96 days and never allowed to speak to a lawyer, again, ostensibly because the court was not in session. Jessica Jock taken into custody after police pulled her over on April 26th, 2012. She was then issued several traffic tickets. She later learned that she had been indicted 3 months prior over the sale of 8 tablets of the anxiety drug alprazolam, better known as Xanax. The case was dismissed in 2013 after surveillance video showed that she had merely borrowed $40 from her friend who was working as a confidential informant.
Ah, there we go. Okay, so somebody has an interest in making a case.
Right. And again, this is ridiculous. She borrowed money from her friend, who was a CI. I'm guessing that she did not realize her friend was a CI, but even if she did know, it's not illegal to borrow money from your friend.
No.
But nonetheless, a grand jury was told, yeah, she sold 8 tablets of Xanax. Never happened. Again, that case was dismissed in 2013. After she was arrested originally in April of 2012.
I had read an article today about how Twitter is apparently banning the RT network and a network called Sputnik from advertising on Twitter. And their reasoning is that advertisements purchased by these companies may have been used to influence the 2016 elections. And I wanted to know what you thought about that.
Kind of like Twitter wasn't used to influence the 2016 elections.
Well, they're saying that Russian advertisers were buying ads for, you know, Jill Stein and a bunch of other third-party candidates.
Right.
In an attempt to spoil the election. And I wanted to know what you guys thought of that.
People can claim whatever they want to claim. I would want to see some kind of evidence to support those claims before I either believe or flat out reject the claim.
I'm with Daryl. I have no idea whether they did or didn't do that, so I really can't speak on the issue.
Now, I know for a fact that in the FBI's report on Russian interference in the election, and I'm using air quotes there, they claimed that RT's hosting of debates featuring Libertarian and Green Party candidates was proof that the Russians were interfering in the election.
Dear.
That was last time.
But I'm so confused because I thought, is Russia buddy-buddy with Trump? Is that what people
That's
are saying?
That's the claim.
I look at this and I go, okay, Twitter, you have every right to say to the Russians, no, I'm sorry, that would be in violation of U.S. U.S. election law.
Or they could just say it's violation of our terms of service.
Right. Or you can honestly just say without any more explanation, I'm sorry, we don't want to sell to you.
Well, if that's against the law and Zuckerberg said the Russians didn't, then isn't Zuckerberg liable for that?
For selling
That's if the courts were actually consistent in the way they apply things
right.
to websites, to where the creators of Craigslist, they're not being charged with any kind of thing when somebody you know, advertises an illegal service on Craigslist, but the people behind Rent Boy and Backpage?
Backpage.
They're being charged because, well, people on your site were advertising something illegal. Ross Ulbricht in jail for 2 life sentences plus 40 years because people used his website to sell cannabis.
What's horrible about this story is that this is not the first time I've heard this story. There's all kinds of examples of people coast to coast in virtually every part of our country that have been jailed for long periods of time over nothing. Another good example was...
I've heard stories of people that were released, but they were never told that they were released, so they stayed incarcerated for months or years after.
That's happened. I remember a case down in Pennsylvania when I lived down there about the... They found particles of soap in their vehicle, and they did like... And they did a field test. The field test came back fine, you know. So, but they were in jail for something like 120, 160 days.
That's
some
ridiculous.
Insane amount of time over nothing. And again, there was some something in that where they weren't Mirandized or they weren't ever formally charged. You know, it's just that's not what this country was ever supposed to be about. We should be ashamed of ourselves for letting it happen.
I will tell you this. The state... Isn't like you say it is. The state has always been. The state
I didn't
is
say
like,
the state was like anything. I'm just saying I don't make assumptions. Well, no, I judge people on individual basis.
I'll go out on a date with you, sweetheart. It's all good.
It's so cool. Funny.
This is not Free Dates Live. Continue with your thought, Ricky.
But you can date Daryl. That is Free Date Live. So, Ricky, if you'd like to go
Ricky
out with Daryl, that's okay.
Not, no. Yeah,
but it's all good, okay?
All right, so let's continue.
Anyway.
I'm going to be like Simon Cowell. It's a no for me.
Okay, it's me, your brother, Daryl. I love you, but not that much.
Continue with your thought.
Okay, well, I mean, when it comes to this state, think of this state just like this flag I wear on my back, which is the opposite of that. It's a living, breathing entity collected on the souls of men. Okay. And this, in the case of the state, not so good. Now think of it, what I wear on my back to be the opposite of that. The state hate that. They hate what I wear on my back.
What do you wear on your back?
My Southern Cross, my battle flag of North Virginia Army. They hate
that. Ah, there
that.
You go. Okay. Yeah, they do.
See, I am more like inclined to live my life by like Christian values, you know, like that for me is more important than political.
I'm a Gnostic, sweetheart.
Than who is. That's great.
Sheriff Cloyd Halford, who's just running a hotel that incarcerated this woman for damn near 100 days. Sheriff Cloyd Halford is the person that did this.
So what
okay.
is
so we are pointing
the solution?
Out who
the, so what is the solution?
Okay. The solution is, Sheriff Cloyd Halford, you don't incarcerate somebody for damn near 100 days without allowing her access to a lawyer, without access to a judge.
How do we make that opinion a reality? Let's be pragmatic here. How do we
make
that a reality?
You just say follow the Constitution. That's the easiest thing.
That doesn't mean people are going to listen to it.
No, I'm telling you that if he followed the Constitution, it wouldn't be an issue.
Okay, so
if he's an elected official, the people down there need to.
I'm all about shrinking government, right? And I got into a discussion online earlier today, actually, where somebody was like, "Oh, libertarian,
why don't we blow it away, sweetheart. Why don't we blow that government away? I
want
to see.
I don't want. I'm not a violent." I believe violence is like a last resort kind of thing. Like you mess with my kid or if I see someone getting beat up on the street, like I'll interject. Like I try to avoid violence at all costs. I really do.
Chris, you're going to tell us about some really weird, strange cease and desist order that came from Congress to some teenager that was trying to contact Congress.
I'm going
to
tell you about Joshua Brown.
All right. Is that Mrs. Brown's baby boy?
I would assume so.
All right.
Joshua is 13 years old. And this comes to us from USA Today. The headline is, teen says he'll defy cease and desist letter from his congressman.
Well, I want to know what the cease and desist letter is before I know whether he's going to abide by it or defy it.
We'll do that right now. Redding, California. Joshua Brown just won't keep quiet. The 13-year-old Redding boy, who 2 months ago, along with his parents, received a cease and desist order to try to get them to stop contacting Representative Doug LaMalfa's offices said Monday afternoon he intends to defy that order. Joshua Brown and his father, Robert Brown of Redding, California. LaMalfa wronged me. I think what he did was probably unconstitutional. I have every right to contact him as one of his constituents, Joshua said, while standing beside his dad, Robert Brown, and attorney Ryan Burse of Berg and Associates in Redding. At issue is Joshua's repeated contact with LaMalfa's office in Redding and employees there. Spanagel said in a statement on Monday regarding the Browns, saying that they plan to again contact the office beyond writing a letter. Quote, Congressman LaMalfa welcomes all communications from our constituents. It's our job. However, the Brown parents and son's activities rose to a level that caused Capitol Police to conduct a full threat assessment. At the conclusion of that assessment, a recommendation was made and a letter sent asking that they make all further communications in writing to the congressional offices in Washington, D.C. for the safety of staff and other constituents.
That office is at 322 Cannon House Office Building, Washington, D.C., 20515.
In case you want to show up, quote, the U.S. House of Representatives and this office take seriously the security and safety of staff and our constituents. Issuing a letter of this sort is not done lightly. It is done rarely and only comes after direction given from Capitol Police. Hey, we're just doing what we were told.
Right.
Yeah.
Everybody just always doing what they're told. Nobody wants to take responsibility.
The Browns don't dispute that they've called the office several times, and Joshua takes credit for the bulk of those calls and emails, including calls to the cell phone of Aaron Ryan, LaMalfa's field representative. Robert Brown and his son are politically active in progressive causes and contact LaMalfa's office to voice disagreement with the Republican congressman's votes and policies. It makes it really hard to get anything across to your elected officials if they're sending you cease and desist orders. But I did want to know, let at Rep LaMalfa, that's if you're on Twitter, I did say, we're talking about your cease and desist order against Joshua Brown on Free Talk Live, 170 stations coast to coast, exclamation point. Should I do two exclamation points?
I would do two exclamation points and then give the toll-free call-in line 855-450-FREE in case Doug LaMalfa wants to call into the show, because I've got some questions for him. And I'm also trying to send a message on his website, which is not easy because unlike most members of Congress where they'll take a message from anybody, they just don't necessarily respond to all of them.
Right.
He does not let you even send a message unless you put a zip code that's within his congressional district. So I just used the zip code for one of his regional offices, specifically his Redding district office at 2885 Churn Creek Road, Suite C in Redding, California, 96002.
Well, hopefully he'll tweet me back. You know?
Or hopefully he'll call into the show at 855-450-FREE.
That would be great. I just hope we can hear from him. I really, this boggles my mind. I mean, it is such a clear protection. It's, you're our elected officials. You are there to represent us. You have a duty to listen when we want to complain.
Chris, you wound up tweeting at Rep. LaMalfa on Twitter asking him what happened, and you gave the call-in number where he can call in, 855-450-FREE.
Yeah.
Yeah, huh. So this entire thing,
oh, you're trying
thing,
to get the little 13-year-old
very
kid to call in?
No, I want the congressman to call in.
Let's get the 13-year-old to call in, too.
Well, it'd be great if I could find contact information for him.
Was
but,
the parents in there? In the article, were they cited?
Yeah,
the names
listed
of the parents, Robert and
so
Lillian Brown.
Look them up online. Look them up on Facebook.
Brown is a fairly common last name, and Robert's a fairly common first name. Josh is a fairly common first name as well. It's not going to be easy to find these people.
Well, we know but what district. We know what congressional district they live in.
Right, but they're not the member of Congress. I want to talk to the member of Congress.
Right, that's the most important.
The member of Congress is the one that is supposed to be held to some account.
Right, yeah. Exactly.
But, okay, let me ask you this. Let's say that they just kept sending harassing letters to the congressman. Is there a line that gets drawn?
There are absolutely laws against
harassment.
There are
laws about harassment, and there's nothing in the cease and desist about harassment. It does not say why. It just says, stop contacting us.
What's the other thing that you found here?
Yeah, it's an opinion piece from the Washington Post, and it says, can you be prosecuted for repeated unwanted emails to government offices or officials?
Well, I don't like the word there, unwanted emails, because some members of Congress might not want emails that go against what they already support. Some members of Congress might not want any emails at all.
Right. And that seems to be the case here, at least doesn't want to hear what this guy's saying, because he and what little we got from the story is that Joshua has written complaining about things that the Trump administration does, and that the Representative LaMalfa is a Republican. So
right.
Maybe that's
arguably supporting, because, you know,
maybe
party
yeah.
line.
I can't confirm that. But this article says, if I keep phoning you to say offensive things to you, I might be prosecuted for telephone harassment, especially if you've told me to stop calling. Similar laws in many states apply to unwanted email. Sometimes you can get a restraining order against me to stop talking to you. Some harassment and stalking bans likewise restrict unwanted in-person speech. These laws have generally been upheld by lower courts, and in Rowan v. U.S. Post Office in 1970, the Supreme Court upheld that a law that let anyone basically order any mailer to stop mailing them.
I wanted to let Chris know that, well, I stopped in and I saw him at the store a few weeks back, and I mentioned to him that I lost my cryptocurrency. And
I remember that.
It was a very valuable lesson. However, it did work itself out, because the person that helped me set up the cryptocurrency informed me that we did write down, you know, the little code there.
Good.
And it jogged my memory, and I remember where I put it, and so I've since retrieved everything back. But it was a very valuable lesson.
That's very scary. I've lost, you know, you have your seed to your wallet or things like that, and these ways that you can recover a cryptocurrency wallet, like for Bitcoin or for Ethereum.
So for people that aren't familiar, the seed for a cryptocurrency wallet is like a 12 random word phrase
in a specific order
that you wind up putting into the wallet program, and then that recovers the wallet to give you access
to the money that you have. Well, I'm so glad to hear that, Robert.
There was somewhat well-known a couple months ago, there was that free speech rally in Boston.
Yep.
That some people were saying, oh, it's a white nationalist neo-Nazi rally. And somebody that Heather, you and I both know, was actually scheduled to be a speaker,
right,
wound up, I don't think, actually speaking at the event. And he wound up losing his job because he was listed as a speaker, and the event was billed as a neo-Nazi white supremacist event. And, well, it turned out to not be that. But this particular person has filed a lawsuit against the mayor of Boston. What's going on here?
Yeah, so I don't know. Some of our listeners probably remember a couple of weeks ago we had Brandon Navam call in, and he plugged his, you know, website or whatever, and said that he was going to be doing this lawsuit against the mayor of Boston for slandering him. Or is it libel? Which one? I don't remember.
Defamation is what is being reported here by the Boston Herald. So let's just jump into the article here.
Okay, so yeah, it comes from the Boston Herald. Rally organizer sues Marty Walsh for $100 million. So that's the figure that has been rolled out. So it says an organizer of a recent free speech rally in Boston has filed a $100 million lawsuit against Mayor Martin J. Walsh after he says Walsh purposely defamed the group as neo-Nazis, which led him to being hounded by internet activists and losing his job. You had a CNN anchor that tweeted Mayor Walsh saying, good luck, the white Nazis or whatever are coming to your town. And now, in my opinion, Mayor Walsh, he's in a position where he needs to really think before he speaks, because his comments couldn't have these kinds of effects. Like, you don't sit there, if you don't know everyone speaking at this, but you don't sit there and label everybody on that ballot or whatever you want to call it of speakers, like, as white supremacists. Like, you just don't. You don't do that. You hold people accountable and make individuals accountable for their actions.
So let's continue with the article.
Okay, so going back into the article, it says he's seeking $50 million in actual damages, $50 million in punitive damages, and a declaration that Walsh's statements were false and defamatory. A spokeswoman for Walsh said the mayor had no comment. Of course not. Now he doesn't want to say anything. But he had no problem saying it when the CNN anchor tweets him.
It's actually fair, and I don't often give government officials credit for something, but you know, it's actually a smart move here to not make a public comment about pending litigation.
Mm-hmm. Well, in the lawsuit, Navam said he helped organize the rally and was scheduled as a speaker, but withdrew from the event after a woman was killed during a violent white nationalist rally in Charlottesville, Virginia.
A private Missouri college is rolling out a mandatory military patriotism class.
You betcha.
And when I first saw the headline, I was like, oh, that's rather interesting. And then I looked to see what the college was. And I'm not really very surprised for a couple of reasons. So one, it's a private religious college.
Right. So they have every right to basically put out whatever type of curriculum they wish.
Well, not only that, but a lot of religious institutions are very big on patriotism.
Huh. I don't know if I would go with that broad of a brush with that, but I will grant you that a lot of probably more conservative religious institutions may be more prone to promote militarism.
Right. And the school here.
Wait, why religious institutions?
Well, I'm just saying that
Every church I ever went to growing up, there was always some kind of...
We did a prayer for the troops if there was fighting on. And
God, family, country sort of thing that was being... And, sure. You know, definitely you would expect God to be promoted in a church, but country and patriotism seems in some ways antithetical to my understanding of Christianity. Time.com, formerly Time Magazine, I don't know if they'd still... do print, but the website has a story here. A private Christian college in Missouri is rolling out a mandatory military science course aimed at encouraging patriotism, making it a requirement for all freshmen. College President Jerry Davis told Time, "We think there needs to be more international program regarding our country. We don't think the military has been properly recognized, and students in general need to know more about the place of the military in this democracy."
Okay.
What is that, a theocracy then? Because
I think that in our country, the military does play a role. The constitutional role would be to defend us from foreign invasion, you know?
Yeah, like, I think the military, like, if you have a military and they're behaving in a way that's, you know, a certain standard value system, you know, then it's not really a big deal. If they're not going around...
They don't decide that, though. Politicians decide that. Politicians decide, and according to the Constitution, Congress decides when to declare war and who we're going to war against.
Who knows? Maybe that's what happens when you separate church and state.
I'm not a fan of this new thing where they are requiring for all incoming freshmen that they must take a course called Patriotic Education and Fitness that is billed as combining the school's prior physical education and patriotism requirements and adds more military training, such as rifle marksmanship, land navigation, and rope climbing. The course will also cover military customs and flag protocol. The college strives to encourage an understanding of American heritage, civic responsibility, love of country, and willingness to defend it, according to the mission statement. The school president, Jerry Davis, says, "To train a better citizen, so to speak, I don't think there's a better way to do that than to remind students of the importance of the military and to be respectful of the country in which we live. Otherwise, this division that we all see in this culture will do great damage to the United States.
See, here's where I get torn, because I joined the military. I did my time in there. I'm proud of the time I did. I wasn't in a combat role. I wasn't even really in when we had much combat going on, which is a fairly rare thing to be able to say.
But there was like those 12 hours in Grenada, man.
Yeah. Well, so we did have Grenada. We had some stuff going on in the Middle East while I was in there, but my job didn't really entail no shooting going on in Fort Detrick, Maryland.
Davis, again, that's the president of the College of Ozarks, Jerry Davis, spoke out in September against athletes who have knelt during the national anthem to protest racial injustice and police violence, declaring that his school would not play any team whose players did not stand for the national anthem.
All right. That's his position.
Yeah.
As a private college, they're welcome to take it. I am welcome to support athletes that kneel. If they feel that that's a way that they're going to voice their displeasure with some part of our current system, be my guest. But in the same sense, if the NFL wants to come up with a rule that says it's part of your employment contract, you can't do that, then... okay, sorry, guys.
Right.
It's up to you. You can work or you don't work.
We even discussed that a couple weeks ago to where, you know, current labor law as it stands would basically be on the sides of the players, saying
true.
That the NFL can't wind up doing that.
Yeah.
You just heard highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. You can download full episodes, subscribe to our podcast, listen live, and more, all for free. At freetalklive.com.